Isn't that great? Who wants us to cancel having kids come up front? Okay, there's no hands, so we're not going to do that. If you would, please grab a Bible. Great if you have your own with you. If you don't, maybe there's one in the chair in front of you. We always encourage you to follow along. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of John and chapter 21. The Gospel of John and chapter 21. And as you open there, I know that most of you are multitaskers, so I just want you to listen for a second. If you know at all the vanity of this life, if you have any experience with the evils of this world, if you know something of the awfulness of illness, pain, aging, and if you have been familiar with the sting of death, then you have enough to at least have some idea, some sense of a desire for, maybe even a hunger and a thirst for, something better. This day is all about that. This day is the celebration of Jesus Christ rising from the dead and giving this great hope that there is something better. There is life beyond the grave, and all who believe in Jesus Christ look forward to this great hope of a deliverance out of this evil age and into the coming age where there's no more sorrow, no more tears, no more suffering, no more illness, no more aging, and no more death. He is risen. Well, let's try it again. He is risen. Very good. And this morning, we're going to see what Jesus did after he rose from the dead. What did he do? And why did he do that? And why should that matter to you this morning? Our text for this morning is John 21, verses 1 through 19. The title of the message is, and it should be in your bulletins, "In This Way He Showed Himself Alive." After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way, he showed himself. The rest of this text answers one question. How? How? How did Jesus show himself to his disciples? Why did he show himself that way, and why should it matter to you? Simon Peter, verse 2, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. That's seven of them. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." It's really, "I'm going back to fishing." They said to him, "We're going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. How many fishermen in here? Fishermen? Yeah, ever caught nothing? That's frustrating. It would end there, but Jesus. Verse 4, "But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, 'Children,'" or, "Hey guys, have you any food?" You know what really, it's, "You don't have any food, do you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." So they cast. And now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea. It was a lake, by the way. It's not the sea, but it's called the Sea of Tiberias, Sea of Galilee. Verse 8, "But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. And as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you have just caught.' Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, 'Come and eat breakfast.' Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, 'Who are you?' Knowing it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' Jesus said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' Jesus said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. It has been said that the empty tomb is the greatest evidence of the resurrection. Not true. The greatest evidence of the resurrection is the risen Jesus. Jesus Christ is alive. And he showed himself again and again and again, and I could repeat that 9 times. He showed himself again and again, 9 appearances to his disciples. Acts 1 says that he demonstrated himself to be alive from the dead by many infallible proofs over a period of 40 days. Jesus Christ is alive from the dead. And this marvelous text, which I just read, is all about one thing. Every text is all about one thing. Remember that, you who preach and you who teach. And your task is to find out what exactly is this about. Here, we don't have to search. Verse 1 tells us what this is all about. Verse 1, after these things, which generally is a reference to all of John 1 through 20, but more specifically, it is a reference to John 20, Christ's resurrection from the dead, and the first 2 times that he showed himself alive to his disciples. After these things, after Christ's resurrection from the dead, and after the first 2 times that he showed himself to his disciples, he showed himself what? Again. See where it says he showed himself? That's an important word. It does not merely mean that Jesus Christ said, look, here I am. It means he revealed himself to them, which, as we go through, we need to be looking for what is Jesus revealing about himself by the way that he showed himself to his disciples. So after these things, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, also known as the Sea of Galilee. And in this way, he showed himself. That should prompt a question. In what way? And what I want to show you from the text are 3 answers to that question. I want you to see in what way did Jesus show himself, reveal himself to his disciples? Why did he show himself in that way? And what does that mean for you today? First, how did Jesus show himself to his disciples? By a miraculous catch of fish. He showed himself by a miraculous catch of fish. This is in verses 2 through 8. Simon, stop there. Stop there. Simon, wait a second. That is his old name. Remember when he first became a disciple all the way back in chapter 1? Jesus said, you are Simon, but now you will be called Peter. Why are we going back to his old name? Because he's going back to his old ways. Watch for that. You're going to see his old name repeated again and again, and that has to go away. Same is true of you. You know what? The old you needs to go away. The you which serves you and serves your selfish desires, your sinful desires, that you needs to die. Part of the goal here. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, the 2 others of his disciples were together. Verse 2, 7 of Christ's disciples were all together. And Simon Peter, verse 3, said to them, he is the leader of the disciples, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to fishing. Did Jesus tell him to go back to fishing? No, he did not. This is on his own. This is Peter, you know, and probably he's thinking, you know, I've denied Christ 3 times. Ever done that? I won't ask for a show of hands. Denied Christ 3 times. He fled. He's fearful. He's serving himself. He's kind of tired of waiting around. Doesn't know what his future is. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to go back to fishing. Sadly, he led his disciples, his others, in the wrong direction. They said, we're going with you also. Verse 3, end of the verse. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. How many of you have ever fished all night? You ever done that? Fished all night? I don't know if you caught nothing. That has got to be frustrating. I wouldn't fish all night. I can't imagine. He said, well, maybe they didn't know what they were doing. No, no. These are professionals. I mean, this was their livelihood before they met Christ. They ran a business, fishing. No, they know exactly what they're doing. Fishing was life. You say, well, maybe wrong time of day. No. No, fishing at night, that's when you caught big fish on the Sea of Galilee. You say, well, maybe they're using the wrong lures, wrong flies, wrong bait. No, actually, they didn't fish with rods and reels and lures and baits and fly lines. And no, they would fish with what? Nets, giant nets. So there's seven big men in a very large rowboat casting again and again. If you ever watch, they kind of throw it in this spiral thing and it just spreads right out and there's weights and the weights go down and then they have the system, they draw the net back in. I mean, how could you not catch fish with a net? It's like cheating. And they went out all night long and they caught zero fish. You say, well, maybe there weren't any fish. No. We will see soon that there's an entire school of fish right beside the boat, or instantly right beside the boat. No. The problem was they had walked away from Christ. The problem was that there was a time when these men, all of them, had left all and followed him. And Jesus along the way had said, without me, you can do nothing. I guess they'd forgotten about that lesson. By the way, let me tell you, those who do that, if you turn back from following Christ, expect nothing. That's what you should expect. Not because Jesus doesn't love you, but because he does love you. And he doesn't want you to go in the wrong direction. And so many of us, we are inclined, for whatever reason, fear or doubt or we've sinned, we are inclined to turn back from following Jesus Christ. I hope you won't make that mistake this year. I hope that nothing will happen this year to cause you to go back to your old ways and cease from being invested in the life of Christ and the life of the church. But they did. They turned back from the living Christ. Serious error. They caught nothing. And the story would end right there, but Jesus, verse 4. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Praise God for Jesus, right? Praise God for Jesus. Jesus stood on the shore, and it says, if you look at verse 4, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. They're not that far from shore. They're maybe 100 yards. Maybe it was still a little bit dim. Maybe their eyes were kind of hindered from seeing. You know, the two on the road to Emmaus, as Brother Dan reminded us of this morning, those two on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize Jesus, and they were up close. They just can't tell that it's him. But watch this. Jesus is going to help them out. Verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, children, which is kind of like, hey, guys, or boys, hey, boys. It's a little bit of a shot. It's not men. It's not disciples. It's, hey, boys, hey, guys, you don't have any food, do you? Like, as if he knows. And you wonder, I like to know the tone of voice with the no. No. It's not that, right? No. Like, who are you? What do you want? No. And then he says this, verse 6. Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. Like, what? However, now keep your hand here in John 21 and turn to Luke 5. This had to remind them. This had to be like, wait a second. We have been here before. Luke 5. At the beginning of Christ's ministry, when they were early followers of Jesus Christ, 3 short years ago, they had another night like this night. Remember that? Luke 5, I'm just going to read it very quickly. Luke 5, beginning at verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about Jesus. This is earlier. This is 3 years earlier, when Jesus is beginning his ministry. Verse 1, it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, same place. Saw two boats, standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into the one of the boats, which was Simon's, asked him to put out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Verse 4, Luke 5, 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. I think it's only two times, here and after Christ was risen from the dead, that we're told the disciples fished all night and caught nothing. And then he says, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. There's so many fish, these boats are sinking. And these are not small little two-man rowboats. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Well, we all can say that, can't we? Lord, I don't deserve you. I am not worthy of you. But I don't want to say depart from me. That we should not include. Verse 9, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Until, John 21, back to John 21. Until Jesus was crucified. And then he rose up from the dead, and they're waiting around, and nothing is happening, and Jesus is testing their faith. And once again, Peter demonstrates that he's got a long ways to grow. He's got a long ways to grow. He's waiting around, and nothing is happening. And yes, he denied Christ, and he's probably thinking, you know, I've blown it. Jesus wants nothing to do with me anymore. Surely he can't use me in ministry. But he can. He can. Look at what happens. Verse 6, he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And so they cast. And my guess is the only reason they cast is because they said, wait a second, we have been here before. They cast the net, end of verse 6, and they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. These are seven strong guys. These are not weaklings. Seven strong men cannot pull in this net to the boat because of all the fish that are in that net. What is the Spirit of God showing us? Well, he's showing us how Jesus showed himself or revealed himself to his disciples the third time after he'd risen from the dead. And how did he do it? By a miraculous catch of fish. Why? Why? Why do it that way? Why show yourself to the disciples in that way? And here's why. You ready? To teach them and us this eternal truth. The risen Christ is Lord. The risen Christ is Lord. Verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Who else can be sovereign over fish? It's the Lord. It's the Lord Jesus. Verse 7. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. Listen, beloved. The first answer to the question, how did Jesus show himself to his disciples the third time after he's risen from the dead? He did it by a miraculous catch of fish. Why? To show them and us the risen Christ is Lord. Not long after this, Peter, preaching on the day of Pentecost, said this, let all the house of Israel know, in other words, spread this word far and wide. Disseminate this truth, that assuredly, without any doubt, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 2, 9 to 11, therefore, because Christ humbled himself to the point of death on the cross, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name. What is the name above every name? See, some of you think it's Jesus. It is not. I know, it sounds heretical. No, listen. God has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name so that at the name of Jesus, listen closely, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is, now get it, Lord to the glory of God the Father. The name above all names is Yahweh, Jehovah, the name of God, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. How did Jesus show himself? How did he manifest himself, reveal himself to his disciples the third time after he'd risen from the dead? By a miraculous catch of fish. Why? To show once and for all that you might never forget the risen Christ is Lord. So what? So you should follow him humbly. That's the so what. Everything here is a call to follow Jesus Christ. And he is Lord, you should follow him humbly. You know what causes us to forsake him and go back to our own ways? Pride. You know why people leave the church? Pride. You know why people leave the ministry? Pride. You know why people fall into sin? Pride. You think you know better than Jesus. You think you're smarter than Jesus. You think you're wiser than Jesus. You're not, and neither am I. The reason Peter and all these guys, we're going back to fishing, is their foolish pride. Jesus graciously, lovingly, very unforgettably demonstrates himself alive from the dead this third time, first by a miraculous catch of fish to show he is Lord. Second, how did Jesus show himself alive to his disciples this third time after being raised from the dead? By a marvelous campfire breakfast. Man, I wish we could be there. By a marvelous campfire breakfast. Look at verse 9. Got to get back to John 21. Verse 9. Oh, well, verse 8. I don't want to skip verse 8. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a... Oh, what did they see? See it? What's it say? Oh, I like that. Somebody said a charcoal fire. That is a very good translation. Two times in all the Bible do you find the word charcoal fire. Charcoal fire. You know what the other time was? The time Peter denied Christ. The only other time in all the Bible you find a charcoal fire. Yeah. Anthraxia, from which we get anthracite. A coal fire. Well, who made the campfire? And notice it says, as soon as they come to land, they saw a campfire, a charcoal fire, fish laid on the fire, and bread. Man, I really want to tell you a good fish story. Time is kind of tight. All right, real quick. I'm going to speak fast. I was visiting Betty Mahan. Who remembers Betty Mahan? Okay, I was getting ready to take the kids on a backpacking trip, and the kids really wanted to catch fish and cook them. And Betty Mahan, at age probably 80, I'll bet she was, or 85, she said, oh, she said, if you catch some fish, just throw them right on the coals. And I thought, she can't mean that. She said, yeah, right on the coals. I said, are you sure? You don't mean like tinfoil? No tinfoil. Like a frying pan? No frying pan. Put the fish right on the coals. Denise and I got some fish. We got some trout from somebody in the church here. And we tried, we made a campfire in the backyard. We tried one big trout wrapped up in foil with all the lemon and butter herbs, another trout on a frying pan, and then a trout right on the coals. I am telling you, lay the fish right on the coals. It really is. It's the best. And it's biblical. It's biblical. Look, the fish were laid right on the coals, verse 9, and bread. Jesus made them breakfast. Notice, he made them breakfast. These men don't deserve that Jesus would make them breakfast. Jesus doesn't, you don't deserve that Jesus would do anything for you. But he does, doesn't he? Let me ask you something. How did you end up in church today? I'll tell you the answer is Jesus Christ is the one who got you to church today. Yeah, maybe you prayed about it. Maybe somebody else prayed for you to be here. I'm telling you, Jesus brought you to church today for you, even though you don't deserve it. And the same is true of me. Jesus is feeding us. He's giving us breakfast. He's strengthening us. He's encouraging us. He's working in our hearts. Jesus showed himself alive this third time by a miraculous catch of fish and a marvelous campfire breakfast. Notice what he says in verse 10. Jesus said to them, hey, bring some of the fish which you've just caught. I mean, I've already caught fish and I've already got breakfast ready, but hey, let's throw in some of yours too, I guess. Verse 11, Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish. These are not small fish. We're not talking the kind that you catch. Oh, I mean, I'm just kidding. We're not talking little things like this. I mean, these fish were this big, right? I mean, these are big fish. If they weighed 1 pound a piece, I don't know, that's a decent sized fish, right? And there's 153 of them, that's 153 pounds. Full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. Now, wait a second. 153. What does that mean? 153, 1 plus 5 is 6, plus 3 is 9. That's 3 plus 3 plus 3. Jesus rose on the third day. This is the third time he appeared. And the Trinity. Nah, it's probably not that. 153, there were 153 languages in the known world. No. There were 7 disciples. They'd kind of gone back to the law. There was 10 commandments in the law. That's 17. And if you add 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 to 17, it equals 153. That's true. These are the weird things that commentators say. Be thankful you don't read the commentaries. They all stop and they go, what's the significance of 153? You know what it is? I'm going to tell you. You ready? Here it is. The significance of 153 is that they caught so many fish that one of them said, let's count them. And they go, 1, 2, 3, 4. And they kept counting and they didn't quit until they counted the last one. And they go, 153. And they never forgot it. That's incredible, isn't it? All right, on a show of hands, how many of you ever caught 153 fish in one day? See? Jeffrey did. Only Jeffrey. We're going to all swamp you afterwards and find out what your secrets are. Listen, here's the question. Why in the world would Jesus show himself to his disciples first by a miraculous catch of fish and then by this marvelous campfire breakfast to show them and to show us? Not only is the risen Christ Lord, the risen Christ is life. You know what? Fish was life to them. It wasn't just let's go fishing. This is not recreation. Fish is food. And one of the reasons they went back to fishing is because they're not eating. Like they've left their livelihood. What are they eating? They go out to catch dinner. And they caught zero. And you can bet after all night fishing, they're hungry. They're tired. They're probably a little cold, even though they've taken off the outer garments. You get kind of sweaty, and then it's morning. Now you're getting chilly. Peter had put on his outer garment, dove into the ocean, and swam. He's got to be chilly. Jesus is taking care of their life. He's got a cold breakfast, a charcoal campfire. And he's got fish. He's got bread. Jesus Christ is providing everything they need. Why? Because Christ is life. Why does that matter to you? You should follow him thankfully. Jesus Christ, the risen Christ is Lord. You should follow him humbly. Jesus Christ is life. You should follow him thankfully. You should be thankful for everything you have. Listen, how many of you have more than you need? Yeah, probably every single one of us. Thank Jesus Christ for that. Not everyone has that, but you do. How many of you know Jesus Christ? That's thanks to Christ. How many of you have children, grandchildren, blessings? Too many blessings to count. Too many blessings to complain. As Miss Isla used to say, I have too many blessings to complain. That's thanks to Jesus Christ. He is your life. When the Apostle Paul appeared on Mars Hill, he said, I'm going to tell you about the God you don't know. Do you know God who made the world and everything in it? This is Acts 17:24. God who made this world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he isn't served by men's hands as though he needed anything. Because he gives to all life and breath and all things. How did the Gospel of John begin? In him was life, and that life was the light of all men. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. What did Jesus tell Martha? We looked at it last week, our memory verse. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Jesus Christ. How did he show himself alive from the dead this third time? By a miraculous catch of fish. Why? To show that the risen Christ is Lord. And what should you do with that? You should follow him humbly. But he also showed it by this marvelous making of breakfast. Why? To show that Jesus Christ is life and you should follow him thankfully. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for every blessing I have. Let me never turn back from following you. Let me never follow my own pride, my sinfulness, and my selfishness. Third, and this one will go quickly. I told Dennis I'm a stickler for grammar, but not always, Dennis. I don't always do adverbs properly. Third, how did Jesus show himself to his disciples this third time after he was raised from the dead? Ready? By a merciful call back to ministry and a renewed follow me. By a merciful call back to ministry and a renewed follow me. Verses 15 to 19. I'm just going to read it and make a few comments. We'll cover it in detail when we get here one day. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape love me? That's the Greek word behind this first love. Do you agape love me? Do you love me supremely? more than these other disciples? You know why he asked that? Because Peter had said, the others might forsake you, but I never will. Saying what? I love you supremely. So Jesus says, do you love me supremely even more than the other disciples? Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo love you. You know that I love you like a brother. Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. Phileo, Adelphia, brother. You know I phileo love you. You know I love you sincerely, affectionately. Jesus said to him, then feed my lambs. Number one priority in pastoral ministry is to feed the little ones, to make sure that the little ones are getting nourished straight out of the Word of God. Number one priority here to Peter. My number one priority in my life is to feed the lambs of God, the lambs of Jesus Christ. Verse 16, Jesus said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape love me? Now it does not, he dropped off the more than the others. Well, let's just forget about the others for a moment. Do you agape love me? Do you love me supremely? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo love you. You know that I love you sincerely like a brother. He said to him, tend my sheep. Second most important priority in pastoral ministry is to care for all the flock of God. You're hurting, you're sick, you're not well, you're missing church. We care about you. We pray for you. We come after you. We be patient with you. We try to understand you. We don't want you to go away, right? Tend to, watch out for, look after. What's Jesus doing? Restoring Peter to ministry after he had denied him how many times? Three. Verse 17, he said to them the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you phileo love me? Do you love me like a brother? Now, Peter has already told him twice, I love you like a brother. And now Jesus is questioning even that. Do you love me like a brother? Do you sincerely love me? Peter was grieved. No wonder. Because now Jesus isn't saying, do you love me supremely more than the other disciples? And Jesus isn't asking, do you love me supremely? Jesus is saying, do you even love me like a brother? He said to him, Lord, you know all things. And you know that I do love you like a brother. Jesus said to him, then feed my sheep. Sounds like the first one. Yeah, because it's the most important priority. Caring is in the middle. Shepherds need to care for the sheep. And if you're a father, you're the shepherd of your flock. And if you're a father, you have a very important responsibility before the God of heaven to lead your family into following Jesus Christ. And if you're a father and you haven't been leading your family in following Christ, today's the day for you to repent. Shame on fathers who do not lead their families to church, who do not lead their families in following Jesus Christ. This is all about restoring you. This is all about reaching out to you and saying, come back. Jesus Christ, in his care and his mercy and his love for you, is feeding you and is calling you back to ministry and back to a follow me. Verse 18, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. Yeah, when you were younger, you could do what you wanted. I get that. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Listen, you need to grow up, Peter, because the day is coming when you are going to have to lay down your life for others. This he spoke, verse 19, signifying by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. And Peter glorified God by dying that way. Sacrificed his life for the gospel. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, what? Follow me. Listen, beloved, the Spirit of God is showing us how Jesus showed himself, revealed himself to his disciples a third time after rising up from the dead. And how did he do it? By a miraculous catch of fish. Why? To show that the risen Christ is Lord. Why? So that you would follow him humbly. And the Spirit of God is showing us that Christ showed himself, revealed himself to his disciples a third time by this marvelous campfire breakfast. Why? Well, to show that the risen Christ is life. He's the source of your provision. He's the one who provides for you. Why would he do that? So that you would follow him thankfully, joyfully, gladly. And third, he is showing himself to his disciples this third time by a merciful call back to himself, back to ministry, back to a life of following Jesus Christ. Why? To show that the risen Christ is love. Jesus Christ is love. You know, 1 John 4 says multiple times, God is love. Same is true of Jesus Christ. What should you do? You should follow him lovingly, passionately, zealously, eagerly. There should be nothing keeping you from following Christ. He loves you. He cares about you. He's the one who brought you here today. He's the one who's feeding you breakfast. He's the one who's strengthening your faith. He's the one who's encouraging your souls. And listen, as I began, there is so much vanity in this life. There's so much corruption. There's so much confusion and chaos. Surely you have seen enough of this life to understand there's got to be something better. There is. And you can actually experience it even now in this life by putting your faith in the risen Jesus Christ. He is Lord, he is life, and he is love. And if you're here today and you don't believe in Jesus Christ, why not? Why not? Why don't you believe in Christ? I will tell you this, on the day of judgment, you will have no excuse. Christ has made himself known. God has revealed himself in the heavens. He sent his son to be the savior for sinners. Today is the day when countless witnesses stand up and say, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. You don't want to appear before God on that day without Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. May it be that today you would humble yourself before God and just cry out and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. If you'll do that today, he'll save your soul forever, and you'll know him as Lord and life and love. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these great truths. Thank you for the rising of Jesus from the dead and the great hope that we who believe have in him, that we too will rise from the dead. And until that day comes, Father, we just pray, help us to follow. Help us to follow your son through thick and thin and through for better and worse, for richer and poorer. Help us to follow as the bride of Jesus Christ in a way that honors you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, John.